It's Todd McGreevy. He's Intensity in 10 Cities. How you been, man?
In the morning, AD. Good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm great. What is it, Gary? Tuesday? It's Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
It's nice out. I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling springy.
Yes. The sun just popped out, and we're still adjusting from the time change, but I think we're going to make it.
Yeah, yesterday was a bit of a rough go. Time change Monday really is not my friend. It should probably be a national holiday.
They got to keep us on our toes, you know, every chance. Don't get too complacent, you know. Got to zap us from time to time.
That's right. So your latest issue is out, and I was reading through some of this stuff. I think because I had questions about this anyway, and then after reading the story in the Reader, it's an amalgam of things, but the Great Reset. I think we've all heard this term by now, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
most people, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think of, initially I was thinking like of a societal thing, because it seems like we heard a lot about it during COVID, but it's actually something that dates back into the early 2000s and was originally the idea of things that expose the weaknesses of capitalism. They said that with COVID, but they started back in like World Economic Forum talking about all the people who meet in Davos, Switzerland, the richies or the, you know, whoever really runs things. And they're talking about the Great Reset in terms of finance, in terms of social, like it seems like it kind of covers a lot of bases.
Oh, yeah. People wanted to say it was a conspiracy theory that there's a Great Reset going on. Well, it was actually a published book by Klaus Schwab, and he puts in very certain terms in, you know, black and white and in English what the agenda is, you know, to usher in a new social justice, to usher in a new what some people call corporate socialism, or some people call it communist capitalism. It's, you know, the stakeholder capitalism is the term that he coined. He actually wrote a book called Stakeholder Capitalism. It's behavioral modification of corporations to benefit not the stakeholders, but to benefit individuals and groups that, quote, stand to benefit or lose from corporate behavior. And this is, you know, it's shorthand for, you guys have heard about the Environmental, Social, and Governance, the ESG Index.
Yeah.
You've heard of that. I maybe even talked to Doug Weir about that before. I'm not sure. But, you know, that is on the horizon. It's happening right now as we speak here in America, it being a measurement tool that lenders and banks are using to measure whether or not they're going to supply capital or resources or loan money to or companies. So it'll trickle all the way down, if it's allowed to flourish, all the way down to everything from, hey, you want to get that chicken, what's it called, the chicken wrap that you love? What's that thing called?
Oh, frickin' chicken gyro?
Yeah, you want to get the chicken gyro? Well, you better check your ESG score, because last week we didn't really like the articles you read online. You can't access that now, because it's all going to be tied into your phone. It's all going to be tied into your access to your funds. I mean, this is just a many armed tentacle beast going on right now, and it's hard for most people to grasp. But when you think about what's happened over the last 2 years, this has been the nudging of the globe, the nudging of the planet into these modes where they're allowed to be contact traced. They're allowed to be, you know, oh, I have to check my status before I can take an activity. You know, the behavior control is started. It's happening. And we published this article by Michael Reckenwald in our March River Cities Reader edition, out on stands now, issue number 995. You can also read it at rcreader.com. Michael Reckenwald is the chief academic officer for American Scholars. He's written numerous books called Google Archipelago and Beyond Woke. He spoke at Hillsdale College back in November, and that lecture is the basis of this article.
Gary's always giving me stuff from Hillsdale College, like the pamphlets that they put out. And man, you just know how to party. I tell you what, you just come so direct and knowledgeable. And you said communist capitalism, and for some reason, I thought of ketchup on chocolate ice cream. You know, because it's just like.
Triggered that, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I immediately thought of that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Communist capitalism. But so you're kind of talking about some of the stuff of the Great Reset, and then we just saw sort of like martial law's little brother enacted in all of our states with emergency powers. And I use my air quote fingers when I say that, emergency powers. And you're right. I mean, that's we're very much seeing this. And I mean, obviously our phones are a great tool. to keep track of what everyone's doing. And I mean, we can't get enough of it. I mean, it's like we're begging for 1984 because we'll get 10 minutes down the road and turn around and go back to get our phone because we forgot it.
Exactly. It's amazing the behavioral modification that happens, you know. And I often, you know, think about Mark Twain's famous quote. I'm paraphrasing, but it's easier to fool a man than it is to convince him he's been fooled.
I like that. That's good stuff, you right know, there. You know, Gary was actually ran with Mark Twain back in the 1800s.
Yes.
They hung out a lot.
So you mentioned emergency powers. In that article my wife Kathleen McCarthy wrote called Emergency Powers Are Real Threats to People's Lives and Liberties. And it starts off with referencing the Canadian trucker protests and so forth. And the throwdown that happened in Canada of taking over people's bank accounts because they supported financially a peaceful demonstration was unprecedented and should be a huge flag to anybody that is worried about, you know, their own self-determinism. I mean, this again, a test. They're testing things out. How could this work? Can you imagine if, we were protesters in front of all the local hospitals a year and a half ago over the COVID policies. What if the government decided, oh, you protested in front of a hospital, we're going to shut your bank account down? I mean, this is at our doorstep.
Yeah, we talked about that story and how weird it was that they were able to do that, or like that was a thing. Like, wait, what? You know, you have certain political view, so they're just going to take your money or take control of your money. And I don't know, it makes me want to stockpile cash, to tell you the truth.
Likewise. The other part of the article goes into, you know, reforging the local bonds of trust with our local law enforcement. You know, you saw what happened in Canada, at least from afar we did. And many of us had firsthand accounts from friends that live up there. But, the local police were first, until they brought in, you know, reinforcements from afar, they were peaceful. They were happy to hang with their fellow truckers. And they, you know, they were all in solidarity. And it's only when you bring that international, top-down approach to behavior modification that things got different up in Canada. And, my wife writes about, you know, we need to reforge the bonds with our local law enforcement. We're all worried about the big national, stage. The big, who's running for president? You know, Mike Pence, oh, gosh, you know, it's like that's going to control. What has more impact on our lives than anything else is where we live in our counties. Knowing your county sheriff, knowing your county supervisors, knowing your local elected officials, knowing who the grand jury is in your county. We write about that in this article as well. Written about it over the years. And many people don't know, but in Iowa, there's annual impanelment of a one-year seated grand jury that should be made public in terms of who they are. In case you have an allegation of wrongdoing against a publicly sworn officer, you should have access to your grand jury. The grand jury impanelment happens to be happening tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Scott County Courthouse. I encourage anybody that can attend to attend it. It's kind of an esoteric event, but in my view, it is preventative maintenance. If the government officials know that the people know how to access the grand jury, they're likely to fly straighter and make sure that they uphold their oath of office. That's at least what we're trying to promote in the March issue of River City's Reader.
Man, you're intense. Every time Todd McGravy, River City's Reader, joined us, I mean, I always tell Gary, it's like, I got this brain stew going, and then we get you on the phone, and then you're like pumping a bunch of weird ingredients all of a sudden, and I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know. You just make me think, man, and I appreciate that. I appreciate what you guys do with a reader for that reason.
Well, we appreciate you giving literacy a chance by allowing us on the air, Aaron, seriously. I know we've been a critical thinking tool since 1993. And it's not all just gloom and doom in the River City's Reader. There's articles about art exhibits going on with the Rock Island Art Guild exhibition at the Figge, with dozens and dozens of local and regional artists being exhibited there at that great museum. There's an article about Alice Cooper coming up. There's a Tool is playing this week at the Tax Slayer Center's article about that. There's the local live music listing, co-sponsored by Vintage Radio 107.7 WQUD. Get your local licks on.
That's right.
We appreciate that partnership with you guys.
I heard a rumor about you. I don't mean to cut you off, but I heard a rumor about you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Is it true you're old friends with Alice Cooper, and you might, I mean, because you're long hair, so I don't know, but you might actually sit in for a song on guitar with Alice Cooper. Is that true at the Adler Theater? Come on.
It's not true. I did see Alice Cooper at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds a long time ago. That was a fun show, but no, I'm not friends with Alice.
All right.
Well, I would encourage,
Go ahead.
Yeah. I would encourage you to check out the Tool article, though, because we published the actual lyrics from the... I don't know if you remember. Do you listen to Tool? Do you know much about them?
I do. I don't really listen to Tool much anymore now that I'm old.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, yes, I loved Tool. And then, like, the first album... Well, it wasn't actually the first album. Enema was the first one, but it wasn't really mainstream. But then the first one came out, the main one, or, the, you know, the first big one that they had. And then... They had, like, the secret song on there. You'd go all the way to 99 on the CD player, and it was like, you know, these are the cries of the carrots, the cry, you know, just crazy stuff. Then I actually saw him in concert at an Ozfest at Tinley Park in Chicago, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And so we're there all day. It's hot, you know, everybody's buzzed up, whatever. And out comes Tool, and he was painted blue. He was wearing a G-string only. And he was painted blue, Maynard James Keenan. All blue, like completely like Blue Man Group is what he looked like. And I don't even know if Blue Man Group was out then. But it was crazy. It was an unbelievable show. They put on a great show. Now, have you seen Tool in concert?
I've seen him a couple times, yeah. In fact, I saw him at the Mark, excellent show. Saw him at the Chicago United Center years later. It wasn't as good. It sounded more like a CD, but... You know, we had Maynard on the cover of the Reader years ago when he launched his winery down in Arizona called Caduceus. We had an interview with him, actually, and hosted a screening of his film, about a documentary about him and his winery down there. But in this issue, on page 12, you can check it out, or online at rcreader.com, we published the lyrics of their lead song on their most recent album, which came out in fall of 2019, Aaron. You may or may not remember it, but it was titled Fear Inoculum. Do you know what, Gary, you tell Aaron what inoculum is.
He's got his thinking face
on. Put him on the spot there. Inoculum is the product that goes into inoculations.
Oh, wow. So what, they were like a little bit ahead of the game, huh?
Yeah, I think they were way ahead of the game. It's very fascinating. So, you know, on that note, right across from that article is our spring photo contest. We do that every year. We publish them in May, the winners of the photo contest. April 28th is our deadline. Last year, our theme, we have three themes every year. Last year, it was life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those are the three themes. This year, we couldn't help it. AD, we had to go with safe, effective, and trust the science. Those are the themes for the photo contest this year. So we encourage photographers, both professional and amateurs, to get their own interpretation of those themes and join the photo contest.
That's awesome. What give me the themes again this year.
Safe, effective, trust the science.
Safe, effective, trust the science. You're always just stirring up a little bit of trouble all the time, Todd McGreevy. I love it.
Yeah, we're trying.
You make people think, man. That's, like I said, that's I love it. I mean, that's what it should be. And we try to do a little bit of that and have some fun here on this show.
Absolutely.
You guys do a great job.
Some dialogue. Hey, thanks a lot, and happy birthday to Phil Lesh. Who knew?
Yeah, 82. I didn't think any of the Grateful Dead would live that long. And then Gary's got a list for me. Mickey Hart is 78, Bob Weir 74, and Bill Kreutzmann 75. Of course, Jerry's been gone for a long time. Grateful. I didn't think the Grateful Dead would ever get old. You know what I mean? And I don't mean their music. I mean like them actually personally. I didn't think they'd last this long.
Yeah, I love what you guys do. Love the music you guys play. Keep up the great work. And thanks for the opportunity to share information about the Reader with your listeners. We really appreciate it.
I look forward to this conversation every month, Todd McGreevy from River City's Reader. Thanks so much for calling in, bud.
All right, man. Have a good day.
You take do the care, same. Man. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.